Here's another old saying that deserves a second look. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Is that going to get us anywhere? Here's what I propose. Don't hit back at all. If someone strikes you, stand there and take it. If someone drags you into court and sues for the shirt off your back, gift wrap your best coat and make a present of it. And if someone takes unfair advantage of you, use the occasion to practice the servant life. No more tit for tat stuff. Live generously. You're familiar with the old written law, love your friend and its unwritten companion, hate your enemy. I'm challenging that. I'm telling you to love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. When someone gives you a hard time, respond with the energies of prayer. For then you are working out of your true selves, your God-created selves. This is what God does. He gives His best, the sun to warm and the rain to nourish, to everyone, regardless, the good and bad, the nice and nasty. If all you do is love the lovable, do you expect a bonus? Anybody can do that. If you simply say hello to those who greet you, do you expect a medal? Any run-of-the-mill sinner does that. In a word, what I'm saying is, grow up. Your kingdom subjects. Now live like it. Live out your God-created identity. Live generously and graciously towards others, the way God lives toward you. The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. How many of you have been following the events in the Ukraine this week? How many of you have been following those? It's really been dizzying, the news that has broken each week. One day this last week, we heard that a deal had been reached among the superpowers, among the president of the Ukraine, and among the protesters, that there would be an election this fall, and that the constitution restoring democracy to the people would be restored. And then the next day, we heard that the president had left office and was hiding somewhere in the country, and we saw pictures of some of those very protesters who just hours earlier had been huddled behind burning tires in the streets, who had been throwing rocks and dodging bullets and continuing their sit-in in Kiev. We saw them walking through the sumptuous palace of the president. This palace had been built by him, and it was, the grounds in the palace together were a mile long. And they included his own personal zoo, his own personal golf course. In fact, like many of you, I saw a picture of one of the protesters holding up a golf club that the president had monogrammed his initials on. One of the protesters said, you know, when he was running to be president of the Ukraine, he said, I will listen to every one of you. And they said, but he didn't listen to any of us. It seems like The real rebellion, the real protest in the Ukraine against the president was the fact that he had lied to them. He had presented himself as a servant of the people, as a generous servant who would give himself in service for the people. But what they found out was that he was really the opposite. He was somebody who was just in it for himself. As I've said before, his goal seemed to be to get all he could, can all he get, and spoil the rest for everybody else. And then as these protesters walked calmly, not looting, through this sumptuous estate, it was as if every bit of their effort to eject him from office was validated. Because it was just what they expected. Nobody really knew, but it was as they expected. He wasn't the person that he claimed to be. Now, the reason I share that with you is because what I want you to know is that What Jesus is talking about in this Sermon on the Mount from so many years ago, we can see this played out all around us. We can see it played out on the international stage. We can see it in our church. We can see it in our community. We can see it in our own family. There are those who listening to the philosophy, the way of living of this world, their object is to take care of themselves at whatever the cost. And when your goal is taking care of yourself, then when somebody comes and threatens you and what you have, then you're going to do whatever it takes to protect what you have. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. The common philosophy of His day is the common philosophy of our day. When we tune into the news, when we tune into the United States news, our local and national news, it's filled with our self-care. How we can invest for the future. How we can protect and defend our nation. How we can protect our health. How we can be better. It's almost as if it's a footnote about what we can do for others. Do you remember John F. Kennedy's inaugural speech? Do you remember what he said? Ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what? What you can do for your country. We loved JFK. And I think a good bit of the reason why we loved him was because he campaigned as the servant leader that we wanted him to be, but then we saw it lived out in his life. We saw that though he came from a privileged and wealthy family, he saw position and he saw power as something to benefit others, not himself. And he gave his life doing it. And that is precisely what Jesus is saying here. He's saying that, look, this is what God your Father is like. Though He made the world and everything in it, though the earth is His, though the universe is His, the skies are His, we are His. Though all that is true, He gives generously, not just to those who love Him, not just to those who are on His side, but as the Scripture puts it, He sends rain on the just and the unjust. And by translation, what that means is the rain was what gave them crops. Jesus is saying is that the way that God loves, that everybody ought to be able to see, is in the way God provides our sustenance to be able to live. That's what Jesus was saying is the way God loves. And Jesus expanded that. He said that the way we are to live is to mirror the way that God acts towards us. And that is that we love not just those who are like us, not just those who are friendly towards us, but those who are not. Now, this is a challenge. It really is a challenge. How many of you have ever known somebody who didn't like you? How am I the only one? You know, it's easy to be gracious and kind and thoughtful to those who send you Christmas cards and you know, who are kind to you and always speak to you. But when somebody rejects you, when somebody hates you, when somebody despises you, worse, when somebody seeks to destroy you, when somebody who claims to be a friend turns on you and does you harm, that's when everything in us wants to hate back. And what Jesus said is that because God is love, and that's what we're told in the fourth chapter of 1 John, we're told that God is love. And the writer of 1 John says, if God is love, then those who love God, love. How can you say you love God whom you have not seen if you do not love your brother, your sister, your neighbor, others whom you do see? And so what Jesus is saying here is the testimony, the evidence that God resides in us is not in how we can be friendly and nice to those who are friendly and nice to us, but how we can love people who want to hurt us. How we can smile and reach out a hand to try to help those who, if they could, would take it and choke us with it. That is the measure of God's love. Now you might ask, how can we do that? How can we do that? Have you ever tried to love somebody who hated you or who wanted to destroy you? Have you ever tried to do that? I remember a time when there was a person serving with me in a church, and I had gone out of my way to do everything that I could to help them, to encourage them. In fact, when the church was going through a difficult time of budget and we were going to have to cut back on our budget, I asked the church to cut back especially hard on my budget so that this person wouldn't lose their position. And then I found later on that they had returned my kindness by working as hard as they could to turn folks against me. And I want to tell you that, you know, I felt anger, and I felt betrayal, and I felt like I had been used. And as I thought about it, I didn't like how I felt. I didn't like what I saw in myself. The more I thought about what this person had done to me, the angrier I got, and the worse I felt. And the bad thing was, all my bad feelings about him weren't bothering him at all. He was just going along his happy, merry self. What I realized was that I was trying to love him myself, and I couldn't. I did not have the love to love him. So I had to have a long talk with my Heavenly Father. And finally, the only way I could have peace was to say, God, I forgive him, not because he deserves it, or not because he's asked for it, but just simply because that's what you require of me. I don't hold him responsible any longer for what he's done. But I ask you to cleanse me of my thoughts towards him and replace that with love for him. Now, I have to tell you, I didn't feel better right away. I didn't. But as time passed, I found myself naturally wanting to pray for him. And when the time came for me to depart that church, I could honestly say to him that I hoped that he might grow in grace and in the knowledge of God. I had a lot of thoughts about what I wanted to do with him now. I had a lot of thoughts about what I'd like to do to him. But I left without fulfilling any of those. And I don't know what has happened to him since. I have no idea. But what I'm here to say is that when God asks us to love our enemies, God also gives us the love with which to do that. The other thing I've learned is that it is when you come face to face with somebody who hates you, who uses you, who betrays you, when you come face to face with that, that's when you learn just how weak your own love is. As Jesus said, it's easy to love those who are generous to you. It's easy to love those who love you. But when you come face to face with somebody who has used you and betrayed you, when you come face to face with Judas, who would betray you with a kiss, that's when you discover just how weak and how limp your human love is. Because you see, we're used to loving people, being kind and nice to people. And we have even gotten to a place where we think of just civility and being cordial as authentic love. But Jesus raises the bar. He defines love as the kind of love that God has towards us. And you can't do it. But He can. And so what I would say to you is, what I would ask you to do is to trade the selfish, weak human love that we have been given for something higher and greater. The reason why I chose to follow Christ was because somebody showed me that kind of love. I've told this story before, but I had finished basic training and I was in my school afterwards, And there was this fellow that lived in my barracks who would he would ask me to go to Bible study on Monday nights. And every time he asked me, I thought of a new creative way to tell him no. You know, and this went on for several months. Every week he would ask me. His name was Paul Sepp. He would say, "Won't you come?" And I would say, "No." You know, and so one day, I had kind of gotten to a low point in my life. And once again, one more time, must have been the 10th or 12th time, Paul said, "Would you go to Bible study with me?" I said, "Sure, Paul. We can go in my car." So after we gave him some smelling salts and picked him up off the ground, you know, we arranged where to meet and go there. But what he did was he showed me that kind of love. What the people in that Bible study showed me was that kind of love, because I wasn't like them. I wasn't polished. I wasn't well-mannered. I wasn't like any of them. And yet, whenever they had an outing, they would invite me to come. Whenever they had a Sunday school class party, they wanted me to be there. And because they showed me that kind of love, God touched my heart. And that love from them created a desire in me to know this God of love. And that's what Jesus is saying. What he's saying here is, when you and I love the unlovely, when we love the stranger, when we love the person who doesn't love us, when that person sees that, that is when God touches their heart. It's not when we are nice to those who are nice to us. It's when we love as God did. It is only when we love as God loves us that God touches the human soul. And I have felt it, and that's why I'm here. So that's what I say to you. If there's somebody who despises you, if there's somebody who is a stranger to you, if there's somebody who ignores you, if there's somebody who won't speak to you, if there's somebody who doesn't like you, maybe you don't like them, what I ask you to do is to make a decision to love them. Corrie ten Boom tells this story, and it's a powerful one. She was a prisoner in a Nazi concentration camp during the Second World War, she and her sister Betsy. She was speaking some years after that in Germany to a group of people gathered there. And after the rally, one German young man was walking up to her with his hand outstretched to shake hers and to tell her how much he had appreciated her and to tell her how he himself had found Christ. But what she saw in him was something that nobody else there saw. What she saw in him was that he was a former guard at that very concentration camp, and that she had witnessed this man beat her sister with a whip until she was raw and bleeding, and kick her and push her to the ground. And she said that in that moment, when he smiled and he reached out his arm, she said her arm was like a lead weight at her side, and she couldn't move it. She says in her book that in that moment, she said, "Lord Jesus, I ask you to give me your love for this man, for my love is not there." And she said, as with all of her strength, with all of her might, as she began to lift that lead arm, she said, something miraculous happened. That as she began to do that, she felt nothing but love for this man. She felt God's love flow through her. She felt the anger and the hatred and the bitterness that she had for him evaporate in a moment and be replaced with love. That's what I found God to do for that man who betrayed me. What I'm saying here is that this God, this amazing God who tells you to love your enemies, gives you the love with which to do it. This God who asks us to love our enemies, to reach out to the stranger in our midst, He gives us the power to do it. But we don't have it until we make a decision to do it. It was only when she decided to love Him and began to reach her arm that the love flowed. It was only when I made the decision that I was going to forgive that man and I was going to love him with God's help that my feelings began to change and they began to evaporate. See, when When we hold on to hate, we become the prisoner of hate. When we hold on to our position of alienation against the enemy, it holds us captive, not them. So God asks us to forgive. And more than that, He asks us to become a vessel of His love. Because if there's anybody who can demonstrate the power of God's love, it is an enemy. The people who know that you are not one of them, or that you are not kindly with them, you have more power than any other human being to demonstrate to them what God's love is really about. It is you, more than any other person, who hold the keys to the kingdom for that man, for that woman, for that child, for that family. It is you who hold the keys to unlock the prison that keeps them apart from God. Because it is only when an enemy loves that people see it as the love of God. You know, I see this all the time. Do you know when the statistics show this, that if somebody visits this church, and if the pastor calls on them or calls them or writes them a note or visits them, did you know that if you do that, they are 6 times more likely to come back to church than if I do? That's right. You know why? Because, well, it's his job. What causes people to experience the love of God is when it comes from somebody who has no reason to do it. You would be amazed at how much power God has given you to change the world. And the way we change it is by loving the least likely person to expect that love. Not the most likely. And that's why Jesus said, you want to give a dinner party? Don't invite those who might invite you. Don't invite your friends. Invite the stranger. Invite those who could not invite you to their house. That's why when Jesus wanted to go to somebody's house, He went to the tax collector's house. He went to the people who knew they were dirty. He went to the people who knew they were rejected. He went to the people who knew they had no right to be close to God. Those are the ones Jesus went to. Because why? Because He knew that they would be the ones who would be touched by the love of God. Not the people who expected it. The people who expected God's love are the ones who crucified Jesus. Who is it who is against you? Who is your stranger? Who is the foreigner? Who is the alien? Who is it that despises you? That's the one that God is calling you to love. Pray with me. Oh God, teach us the meaning of love. Not our weak love that loves only when conditions are right. Only when we feel like it. Only when love flows easily. Teach us your love. The love that loves enemy and friend alike. The love that seeks good even for those who hurt us or betray us or use us. Teach us to love, Father, as you love us. Because this is the kind of love that has brought us to you. And if those around us who are so far away from you, if they're going to know your love, then it's only going to be when they see as being different than them, or perhaps aloof from them, or maybe they see themselves as undeserving of our love or kindness. It is when we love them, perhaps more than any other way, that they will be touched by the love of God. We hold the keys. You have given us the keys to the kingdom, just as you gave to Peter. You have given us those keys. You've given us the power, and that power is in love, to win the lost, to help them know that there is a God who loves them. Oh, Father, help us to lay aside our prejudices and our hatreds, our self-choices, our self-will. Help us to lay those things aside and love the unlovely, the ungodly, and the foreigner in our midst. that they may know You, the one true God, who alone can save them. This we ask through our Lord Jesus, who loved us when we were His enemy. This is His name we pray. Amen. Our hymn is number 480.